styled and like going to a spa day. And I would hear that and I would think, like, you want me to do what? Like, I barely can string apart 2 hours, like, before chaos ensues. Am I a bad mom if?
Should they know how to do this? Should I know how to do this? Why does it always seem to come so easy to everybody else?
Well, hello and welcome to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kaylin Galloway, and I'm here to help you navigate the rollercoaster ride of motherhood, to help conquer the mental load of postpartum. My goal is to help you stop panic Googling, finding judgy Facebook groups, and to start to become the mother you've always dreamed you could be. In this podcast, I aim to adopt the naturopathic principle of docere, which means to teach. None of this information should be considered medical advice. As always, before you make any changes to your healthcare regimen, always consult your personal doctor. Talk about something a little bit more fun than the last episode. I think it's a really important topic that we talked about on Monday. If you missed it, go ahead and check it out. I do have a warning. It is not for children. It has a very adult content in it, but it is something that we really definitely need to talk about. Intrusive thoughts are part of postpartum, and there's something that you really need to talk to someone about if you're experiencing them, and you should have the ability to know that these are normal thoughts. But one of the things I talked about in that episode was that you really need to focus on self-care. And I know my first question, whenever I heard someone say that, I was like, what does that even mean in postpartum? Because in a lot of the world, and especially pre-pregnancy, I know that self-care was sitting in a bathtub for hours and getting my nails done and doing my hair and like getting my hair cut and styled and like going to a spa day. And I would hear that and I would think, like, you want me to do what? Like, I barely can string apart 2 hours, like, before chaos ensues. You want me to do what? And so I wanted to give you a realistic look of what postpartum self-care looks like and why you have to make it a priority and why you have to make it something that you have to commit to, because otherwise you won't make it. You won't make it a priority. You'll just keep cycling and prioritizing other people first. So the first thing I wanted to have you do is I wanted you to take an inventory of pre-pregnancy, pre-baby, pre-thought of even having a child. What did you do as an act of self-care before that? What was your diet like? How did you exercise? Were you visiting physicians and managing your health especially prior to pregnancy? Were you having days that where you were having time off? Were you celebrating a Sabbath? Were you experiencing relaxation? And lastly, how were you meditating or having some sort of spirituality in that aspect? What did all these look like? And I think that that's something you should probably journal on or think through of, like, what was it? And was I happy with that? Or do I feel like I need to have some sort of change to any of those? And then the next part is looking at those and digesting where the best benefit or the biggest bang for your buck is kind of where I'm going to go with that. It's like, where can I put a nice healthy option in my diet that's easy, you know, that's not going to be hard? And that for me during postpartum was having like protein balls that were like snacks available to me, and like having protein bars and like making sure that I always had like a hard-boiled egg, I had cheese, I had like some sort of easy, quick snacks available that weren't unhealthy, not necessarily the most healthy thing, but like I knew that they could be quick. I could ensure I was getting enough food and adequate amounts of protein because I knew I was actually trying to heal my body, so I wanted to make sure I put that as a priority. And then I also made sure I had the treats that I needed and wanted. I also really did focus on making sure I stayed hydrated, and not necessarily overhydrating, but I wanted to make sure I got at least 64 ounces a day, but then also aimed for closer to 100 ounces a day was like kind of my goal to make sure I got enough. And then in terms of exercise, you don't want to exercise during those first 6 weeks, so I know what you're thinking, like, Kaylin, really? But I wanted to make sure I did some sort of movement, and I've talked about this in other episodes, and that I don't really have, I'm not a big fan of the 5-5-5 rule where you like stay like in the bed, on the bed, or around the bed. So like, yeah, I think that that is kind of not necessarily the best advice for a lot of moms, and that you should be moving, not like working out. We're not talking CrossFit, go to the gym, but like doing some light stretching, going for a light walk, like walking the stroller, which can be very calming for your child, getting outside, making sure that, you know, self-care as a mom is like making sure you see sunlight, making sure you smell air outside of the apartment or the house that you're in, making sure that you're going on a walk, making sure that you're getting the breakfast that you want. And I say all this to say is that you are creating foundational routines for your child, and they're not old enough or have any comprehension of what you're doing, like specifically, like they can hardly see. But while your child is learning routines and figuring out their life and learning and their brain is opening up to the world at hand, you're also going through a really big time for neuroplastic development. During the time of postpartum and in pregnancy and in postpartum, your brain has to go through a lot of different restructuring and changes. You always talk about, or you always hear about how the brain shrinks in pregnancy, and it does. There's definitely significant amounts of gray matter lost in pregnancy. But also in postpartum, there's this miraculous time where your body kind of has a shift in the hormonal structures, and you have a chance to put in really good foundational habits. And that's what I'm talking about is, do you want to actually put in a meditation? And that doesn't mean going to an ashram and sitting for 2 hours. What that means is, while your baby is up crying and won't lay down with you, that means you're like walking and doing a meditation at 3 a.m. because you can actually go to bed. So let's find a way to actually relax and be present in this moment and find the joy in this moment, because that's what we have to do. And or finding like the 2 minutes that you can give the baby to your husband and go put on makeup. Or finding that in the morning when I start my day, it really helps me to get the baby in a stroller and go see sunlight. What is the thing, the little thing that could be a cue later on that you could build on? Or what is the one thing that you want as a core part of your routine stacks when the baby's older? Like, what is one thing you want to do every single day of your life for the rest of your life? And I don't mean that in like, you have to do it every day or you're failing. No, I mean like, what is one thing that you actually want to commit to, that you want to actually do? Is it journaling? Is it meditating? Is it going and is it talking to a friend? Is it making sure that you reach out to people? Is it doing is it getting a certain type of protein waffle in the morning? Is it figuring out how to drink enough water every day and make it the right flavor or the right activity? Or what is it? What is it you want? Because this is a very special time. And we always talk about this time as a way, like, it's a very fragile time for mental health. And it is. You have a statistically higher chance of having mental health problems postpartum because of so many factors. Go listen to the last episode if you want to feel. There's so many. But it is a really, really important time. That if you do make the commitment to put a little bit of yourself first, not all of yourself, because you can't give all of yourself, you've got to keep a human alive. But if you put in that time to make sure you give your body the chance to adapt, your body the chance to actually know how to become and separate, because I feel like there's this big, so you're growing this human and they're physically attached to you for 9 months. And then you have this like empty feeling almost when they're out of you. This is at least my experience. But they're still one with you during postpartum. And it almost feels like Velcro, and it's starting at one end on postpartum. And you have this like big rip when the placenta comes out. Like you just like a big rip. But it kind of like slowly peels the rest of it for the next 12 weeks-ish, you know? And then I felt like there was one day, like almost 12 weeks to the exact, where I kind of looked up and I was like, oh, I'm me. I'm me. I'm no longer us. And not to say that like my son and I didn't have a connection. It was just more of like, I existed. My brain and actually identified me as a person instead of just the vessel that was keeping this human alive. And so I want to give you that picture of like, what sort of things do you want to happen as a result of you unlatching that Velcro? How are you going to let that set into place, and what routines do you want to lay as foundational for the rest of this child's life? It's not the last time you will ever have to adapt your routines to change your thought patterns. It's not the last time, but it's a really crucial time where it'll be not easy. It's never easy. But your brain is being, it's like it's that little moment of like, ooh, how can I influence my brain to work better for me moving forward? Because having the choice of having baby brain, this is like a, this is a molehill I will stand on. You can choose to allow yourself to think that baby brain is an eternal thing. You can choose to have that be a thing. Or you can decide, this is something I'm not going to live with. I'm not going to do. And that leads me to managing time. And I love routine stacks. I love time blocks. And I love having my structure. I follow Systemize Your Life by Chelsea Joe. I do a 5 time block method where I have specific times in the day that are dedicated to me. I have specific times in my day that are dedicated to my family. And I have specific times that are dedicated to work, and then specific times that are dedicated to this podcast. And so I love that strategy. It does not work in postpartum. Don't try it. It doesn't work. Because your body is not, your time frame is not decided based on you and your needs. It's not decided about your whole family's needs. It's literally decided about this tiny little human's needs. And so what I would encourage you is to switch off any sort of other kinds of things and think of your life into one set routine windows. And you have a sleep, wake, eat window. Some people do the sleep, eat, wait window. So it's so, but sometimes do the sweet, but whatever. I always did sleep, wake, eat. And so your body is in three, it's like almost 3-hour increments. Sometimes there's exceptions, like the first week and then the first month. And then like anytime you have like a sleep regression, y'all, it just changes so much. It's overwhelming. But it always has this cadence of sleep, eat, wait, sleep, sleep, eat, wait, sleep, eat, wait. And what I recommend is that you follow your life of like those wake windows are when you actually can get some things done, but you're gonna love on that child. When they're eating, obviously all you're gonna be doing is feeding them. And then when they're sleeping, I usually did where I would do sleep this window, do 2 chores in the next sleep cycle. Sleep this window, do chores in the next cycle. So I would always like give myself a little bit of grace. And so that would give me, after doing all the chores that like had to get done every time, you know, like if you are a pumping mother, you know that every time you have to like regularly figure out how to put the milk away and then come back and it's like all the things. But the have to get done's every time, I would like, after all that, I would get about an hour of sleep each time. Sometimes a half hour, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes none. But I would try to make sure I got at least 2 sleep cycles with my son during the day in postpartum. That way I was able to survive the middle of the night walk arounds. Or if I needed to drive, I felt like I could actually drive and feel safe carting my child around. And then, like I said earlier in this episode, it really is about finding those tiny little pockets of self-care. Going for a walk as soon as you see sunshine. Going into a meditation while you're nursing. I used to have my mind go through the same meditation whenever I was nursing. And a lot of it had to do with like just kind of like imagining like my milk just like feeding him. It was just like I could like see it like making him strong, making him powerful, making his energy grow, he still has the feeling of butter. Like his aura is just like butter. When he walks in the room, you kind of just like, it's just like, and he always had that. And I just would always imagine it getting stronger with every sip he took. And that always helped me. And then when I was rocking him or having to walk around all the time, it'd be like, I'd be focusing on right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. It would just like kind of keep me in that cadence of keeping walking without actually hurting my hips. And then I try to get out and go for walks with him. I would make sure I got dressed every day. And you know, sometimes my self-care was getting up and going to get coffee. And I I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but we live on top of a Starbucks. And so sometimes it was literally like, I'm going to take the elevator and walk the 100 steps, 100 feet to go get myself a coffee. And that's my treat for the day. That's my self-care. You know, I was like, I'm not paying for makeup right now. So there we go. I don't have a spending a fortune on milk. So this is what we're doing. And then lastly, figuring out how to delegate your tasks. You can't get everything done. Really, you can't. You cannot get all the laundry done. You cannot get all the dishes done. You cannot get all the chores done. You can't. You can't see everybody. You can't do all the fun stuff. You're probably going to have a bunch of events that happen in the middle of naps for the next 2 years. Like, you can't get it all done. You have to have a support team. You have to have friends. You have to have family. You have to have somebody else. Or you have to decrease your expectations. And so give yourself the break, but then also ask for help. People are far more willing to give you help than you realize, and in fact, they want to help you, they just don't know how. And most of the time, if you're able to humbly ask someone, hey, I really need your help, they find a way to be there for you. And the people that find a way to be there for you are the ones you want to have around. So, I say all this, you're doing a great job, Mom. You're doing a great job. It may not feel like it. You may be so exhausted. And I know that Velcro just feels so much like glue right now. You feel glued to this child. You can't leave, but you don't really want to be here. But you don't want them to grow up, but you want them to grow up. You want to remember this moment because you need to remember this moment, but then you don't want to remember this moment because you're exhausted. But you don't really know that you're ever going to have a right idea of how you actually felt, because it is so incredibly overwhelming and exhausting to be a mom that never gets sleep. But then also, you just want to stare in their eyes, because that feeling when they're feeding and they're looking at you in their eyes and like they're looking through your soul, and it's the first time anyone has ever looked at you like that, the first time anyone has ever given you the light of day to that extent where they adore you. You don't know whether or not they're actually focusing on you. You don't know how much they can really see, but they're giving you that look, that love, that care, that admiration that you've never gotten before. It feels wonderful. But it's hard. And you wonder, even as you're caught in the sea of their eyes, the stars of their eyes, the feeling, the vast feeling that they're so enamored by you and you're so enamored by them, even though you're caught in all that and you're happy and you're appreciative and you love it and you're overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with love, you have so many emotions. You're crushed by the loss of your old life, the loss of your partner, the way you used to be, the loss of your youth, it feels like, and the feelings like you're going to cry at any second and not be able to control it. But you don't know if they're happy tears or depressed tears or overwhelmed tears or hormonal tears. Postpartum's overwhelming. There's literally no other way to say that. You're doing a good job, and it's about finding those windows of being able to reward yourself for the good job you're doing, and also laying the foundations that allow you to be the mom you've always wanted to be. They're really important, so it really does matter that you're showering. It really does matter that you go for that walk. It really does matter that you eat food that nourishes you, both body and soul. It really does matter. It's about being realistic. We're not going to do 2-hour spa days, but we can do those 2 minutes of deep breathing. And trust me, those 2 minutes are going to make a hell of a difference. Let me know if this helps, or if this is reasonable, or it's something you are interested in diving in further. I really hope you have a wonderful day, and I would really, 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 really appreciate it if you would take 30 seconds, open up your Apple Podcast app, go down to click leave a review, and leave a 5-star written review for me. It would help me to increase the amount of women that see this podcast. And then also, one of the main metrics that shows Apple that my podcast is something people want to listen to is whether or not you click subscribe. And that bonus gives it so that you're able to see my podcast show up in your quick little up next feed, in your podcast feed. So if you love this episode, if you love this podcast, please give me a subscribe and follow along And I really can't wait to talk to you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend, and I am so incredibly proud of you. Bye-bye, Mama.
Thank you for listening to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I really hope you learned something and grew during this episode. If you could leave me a podcast review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be so helpful for me. If you have any questions, email me at admin@thenewmomnaturopath.com.